This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Iti Agnihotri Mudholkar. On this edition of Ozarks, legendary songwriter Guy Clark will talk about his career and how he writes songs in advance of his performance Saturday night at Walton Arts Center as part of the Fateful Roots Festival. We also have a report on new money for new rain gardens.
First, Arkansas is among 44 states that have voluntarily adopted a new educational standard called Common Core State Standards. Advocates say Common Core will better define the knowledge and skills students should attain to successfully enter college or a vocation. But as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, critics say Common Core is untested, pushed by special interests, and in reality, they say, a national standard and therefore unconstitutional.
In 2009, 48 states signed a memorandum of agreement with the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers, committing to Common Core State Standards Initiative. According to the website, new standards are being developed in collaboration with teachers, school administrators, professional associations, and experts to provide a framework to prepare all American children for college or vocational training. Feedback was sought from post-secondary educators, civil rights groups, English language learners, and students with disabilities. The draft K-12 standards received more than 10,000 responses. Advocates say Common Core will provide teachers and parents with a common understanding of what students are expected to learn, providing appropriate benchmarks. The Arkansas Board of Education adopted Common Core in July 2010, so how many districts are rolling it out? Dr. Tom Kimbrell is Commissioner of Education in Arkansas.
All 239 traditional public school districts and the current 18 open charter schools.
All districts are using K through second grade Common Core standards, with all grades adopting it by 2014. Previously, every state had its own standards, but Common Core will create standards shared across states.
Well, these standards, and of course, they're focused on English, language arts, and mathematics, are a more focused, narrow group of standards around those two content areas with a much deeper conceptual understanding of those math and English language arts concepts. So there are fewer of them, but with a greater deal of rigor and understanding of the conceptual frameworks that support those learnings.
Other subject areas like science will be incorporated later, and pencil and paper test taking will be replaced by online standardized tests. So who's paying for Common Core?
Well, part of the implementation is the grant that was received through the consortium that we have with the partnership for assessing college and career readiness. And that's helping us develop a lot of the tools through that consortium of 24 other states, as well as state funds that we have for professional development and our curriculum development processes. So there are state dollars that are being put into professional development for teachers and the design and development of tools for teachers.
And last April, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation announced it would donate a $20 million portfolio of grants to develop game-based learning applications, math, English language arts, and science curricula built into digital formats, and social networking learning platforms, all emerging Common Core innovations. In fact, the genesis of Common Core can be traced in part to the Gates Foundation, which set an ambitious goal of having 80% of American high school graduates college or career ready by 2025. And teachers supposedly benefit with new tools to translate assessments into more effective instruction. Plus, new evaluation and compensation systems will reward teachers for improved student results. With support from the U.S. Department of Education, the initiative was launched in 2009. The federal government has no role in development of Common Core, but will provide states flexibility in use of existing federal funds to revise education standards. Dr. Sandra Stotsky was named to the National Validation Committee for the Common Core State Systemic Initiative, which she served on in 2010.
I was called by one national organization a grump and a crotchet because I was criticizing Common Core standards, you know. But there have been no independent voices except the few of us who weren't getting Gates Foundation money.
Dr. Stotsky is currently professor of education reform at the University of Arkansas, holding the endowed 21st Century Chair in Teacher Quality. She's been on many state and national education councils, commissions, and boards, including the Progressive Massachusetts Board of Education.
The attempt for national standards back in 1989, 1990, there were major organizations that tried to develop professional organizations, national standards, and they all ran into problems, every one of them, except for our civic standards, which were developed by the Center for Civic Education in California. But all the others, including math, including English, ran into a lot of problems with Congress, with people in the U.S. Department of Education who had been funding the development of this. They weren't happy with what they saw. And there was such a ruckus out in the field that the National Standards Project at that time was abandoned. And the idea was, well, let the states do it. So by the middle of the Clinton administration, after he had, you know, become governor, become the president, we had states developing their own standards.
But because states are struggling to meet annual yearly progress set by the Elementary and Secondary Education Act under No Child Left Behind, the U.S. Department of Education will start next month granting waivers to states, exempting them if those states agree to embrace high academic content standards, including Common Core.
Now the idea was, since the states were not doing as well as we would like in getting everybody to proficient, and there was plenty of room for reform, we have this renewed interest in national standards, but the federal government constitutionally is forbidden to develop curriculum and tests and standards because the Constitution doesn't allow it. So to bypass this constitutional question, there was money given by the Gates Foundation, they are one of the key players in this, to support the National Governors Association and CCSSO.
Two testing consortia funded by Federal Race to the Top stimulus money were charged with developing Common Core national curriculum guidelines, models, instructional materials, and assessments. But Dr. Sandra Stotsky says the perception that Common Core was developed by a coalition of experts, independently tested, and led by states is misleading.
Most of the people on the committees developing what were to be what they called common college readiness standards were people associated with our testing companies. That was not my idea of who should be on a committee to develop college readiness standards.
Dr. Stotsky, along with U of A colleague Dr. Jay Green and three other education experts, last May authored a manifesto opposing Common Core signed by more than 100 education leaders. They wrote that there's no evidence proving a national curriculum will lead to higher academic achievement and that the Common Core national standards are inadequate.
In theory, I'm for national standards, but unless you have first-rate national standards, we're better off not having them, because otherwise you lock your entire country into mediocre standards, mediocre professional development, mediocre licensure tests, mediocre teacher preparation, and you're locked in.
Critics often refer to Common Core as a juggernaut, an inexorable force that crushes anything in its path. But Arkansas Education Commissioner Tom Kimbrell is convinced Common Core is the next educational wave to bring American children forward into the 21st century.
I think it's a group of concerned educators in the field who are actually delivering the educational content to students that look at this as a way of ensuring across our country all of our students are getting the level of readiness in these two content areas that when they leave our high schools, they're ready to go into the world of work or to go into a college or technical school arena where they will be successful. And that will be common among the at least 44 states now that have adopted these standards.
Now, those states will have to see to the physical implementation, things like new textbooks, computer hardware for the online standardized test taking, and lots more teacher training. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more about Common Core in Arkansas, visit the State Department of Education at arkansased.org And to read more criticism, visit Dr. Sandra Stotsky's page on the UA Department of Education Reform website.
This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, progress, sports, and so much more of the Fort Smith region. How are you today?
I'm doing well this morning. I just came back off the hill last night and made it back and was able to get this nice story posted about XNA's new facility.
I saw you. Yesterday was kind of the preview open house for the new terminal that actually opens on September 1st. I saw you with all your equipment, didn't have a chance to talk to you. What's your impression of the new terminal?
Well, I was going to ask you the same thing. It's very nice. It's not what I was expecting. It's not your, at least in my view, I'm not a world traveler, though, but it's not the typical concourse, but very nice, and I agree. I was afraid I was being oversold a little bit, Kyle. You know, I talked to Kelly Johnson and other folks, and they just went on and on about how nice it was, and I was afraid we were being oversold. But I think it is nice,
and it's much bigger than the terminal space XNA has now.
Oh yes. I don't know. What did you think of the rockers in the middle and that sitting area?
Well, they are rocking chairs, and it appears that what you sit on, material from seatbelts.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I think any place with rocking chairs is better than a place without rocking chairs.
Exactly. I was with someone, and I said, you know, this makes me feel, I think this is where I'm going to come retire. Isn't that where you stood on a front porch in a rocking chair?
Well, you could sit, and from those rocking chairs, you can see planes land and take off. So is there any, does this register with people in Fort Smith at all?
Yes, it does. And that's, I know there are probably people in Fort Smith wondering, you know, why in the hell is the CityWire up covering this XNA event? Well, first of all, it's a $20 million infrastructure project in the state of Arkansas. So number one, that's important. But number two, and I had a story a few days back or maybe last week about the regional connection, the multi-regional connection maybe that this causes. You know, there's no secret that people from the Fort Smith area fly out of XNA. And yesterday I visited with several Northwest Arkansas business people who use Fort Smith also, you know, especially those who live in Washington County. You know, we have to remember 45 minutes. If you live in Dallas or St. Louis or Atlanta, you know, 45 minutes is just getting across town.
Right.
So yes, it you know, people, a lot of people fly out of Fort Smith. They use that. They're interested in that. But I think in the last couple of years, Kyle, we've seen more of the two regions working together. For example, Matt Pitch, who's the head of the Regional Intermodal Transportation Authority here in the region in Sebastian and Crawford County, spoke yesterday to the Transportation Committee of the Fayetteville Chamber because they're excited about the possibility of working together both on rail and river connections. I know that the Fort Smith area folks were up to support the Bella Vista Bypass Project in a few weeks or a few months. I think a lot of Northwest Arkansas folks are going to come down to be somewhat of a transportation meeting in the Fort Smith area at Chaffee Crossing with the new head of the Arkansas Highway and Transportation Department. So I think there's a lot of interesting and hopefully at some point productive multi-regional communication happening back and forth.
The director of the Arkansas Economic Development Department, Maria Haley, this week had some comments about concerns she has about the presence of Whirlpool and Mitsubishi in the Fort Smith region.
Right, and she was, she was very honest. And, you know, her overall comments to, she spoke to a group of about 200 economic developers from around Arkansas, and she was very blunt about the economy. She used a word about the economy in public that we can't use on the radio, but it's a negative connotation. So it was interesting to see how honest she was there. But as as most folks, especially the readers of the CityWire know, we've been following Whirlpool, and their employment has just trickled down from about 4,600 in 2006 to less than 1,000 now. And we've heard from a lot of insiders, plant employees, who said, look, they're gearing this thing down to close it. And Whirlpool's denied and denied and denied. But just recently they said, okay, yeah, all right, we're looking at options. We're not sure what we're going to do with the plant. The side-by-side refrigerators we make there, which is a bulk of what we make there, you know, they're not selling well. And then Mitsubishi has legal problems with GE that's delayed, potentially delayed, I should say. It's a $100 million wind turbine assembly plant here in Fort Smith. And Maria Haley, who's, as you said, executive director of the AEDC, just said, to some extent, these are outside of our control. These businesses have to make business decisions, and we're in contact with them. You know, that's what her, she's saying, that they're going to try to work with them as much as they can. She said, and I think she said, we have to respect those business decisions they make, that they're in a free market environment, and sometimes incentives, no matter what a state does or doesn't do, doesn't matter.
The projected date for the completion of the Mitsubishi plant is the first quarter of 2012. That's still what everyone expects?
Yes. I mean, I was just out there a few days ago. The construction is still humming out there. I mean, that is a huge facility coming up out of the ground. It's supposed to start with about 100 employees and gear up to about 400 employees, and these are going to be some of those better high-paying manufacturing jobs. But that's all on hold. And also, you know, Congress is depending on what incentive you're talking about, they're only extending some of these tax breaks or tax incentives for wind power, wind energy, 1 or 2 years out. And so some of these companies that, you know, you don't want to invest $100 million in a full operation if you're not sure that 2 or 3 years from now that the tax incentives to promote the industry go away. So that's also another issue with Mitsubishi.
And some numbers from the Compass report for July of this year have been released. It shows that sales tax collections in Fort Smith, Van Buren, and Greenwood down. Unemployment rates still not where people would like them. Hospitality taxes up, though.
Yes, it's and it's somewhat surprising, the number. You know, I'm almost, you know, you and I have talked before. It gets to the point where I don't want to. I'm tired of writing these economy stories. It seems to be the same old, we're one step forward, two steps back kind of thing. But yes, surprisingly, the hospitality industry, now based on hospitality tax collections in Van Buren and Fort Smith, that industry appears to be doing well, holding its own amidst everything else that's not able to hold its own. And I don't know. I've talked to a lot of folks. Most tourism industry officials will say that's just a function of people not having a lot of money. So maybe, you know, folks in around the Fort Smith area, their vacation is in the Fort Smith area. Or I think we've heard it termed the staycation, where they don't really go anywhere, but they have a mini vacation in their backyard, so to speak.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers politics, economics, business, and more of the Fort Smith region. Michael, as always, thank you for your time.
Well, you're most welcome, Kyle.
Earth, sky.
Today, scientists using Facebook to help do their science.
This story comes from scientists at the University of Toronto at Scarborough and Oregon State University. In early 2011, a team of ichthyologists from those institutions used Facebook to help identify 5,000 fish specimens.
The team was on a scientific expedition to study fish in a remote river, the Cuyuni River, in the country of Guyana in South America. Over the course of 2 weeks, they collected more than 5,000 fish specimens. But as they tried to leave the country with their specimens, the scientists realized they had a problem. The Guyanese government wanted accurate counts of how many of each fish species they had obtained.
Under normal circumstances, that kind of report could take some time to produce, and that's when they thought of using Facebook. The team uploaded photos of each species of fish to Facebook. In less than 24 hours, their global network of Facebook friends, many of them also fish experts, had identified almost every species.
With the ID'd fish in hand, the team delivered their report to the government and returned home on schedule with their fish.
For more details on this story, come to earthsky.org and search for Facebook Fish. I'm Jorge Salazar.
And I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science. We're at earthsky.org.
Ahead on Ozarks at Large, Guy Clark, headliner at this weekend's Fateful Roots Festival, spent a few minutes on the phone this week with Brian Hemry from the band Threepenny Acre and Kyle, discussing his new live CD released this week and the discipline required when writing songs. That's ahead on Ozarks at Large.
And Ozarks at Large is supported by SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, which begins its 2011-2012 inaugural season on Monday, September 19th, at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. This performance will include Mozart's Overture to Marriage of Figaro, Elgar's Cello Concerto in E Minor, featuring soloist Sebastian Baberstam, and Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony. Tickets available at 443-5600 or waltonartscenter.org.
Recently, the Arkansas Natural Resources Commission and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency awarded two grants to Beaver Water District and the Illinois River Watershed Partnership to build rain gardens to improve the quality of water. Dr. Delia Hark, Executive Director of the Illinois River Watershed Partnership, or IRWP, has more details.
We did apply for a grant last year, and it's two grants actually totaling $350,000 together. That will employ both a part-time position, resource specialist, that will be working with a lot of groups to install rain gardens. That will hold six rain garden academies, one every fall and spring for the next 3 years. And again, this will be in both the Beaver Lake watershed and the Illinois River watershed.
Beaver Water District will be awarded $139,000 and the IRWP will receive $211,000 of the federal grant money. The plan is to set up 60 rain gardens over the next 3 years in public and quasi-public properties in the two watersheds.
Schools, public parks, you know, government buildings, things like that, where we can demonstrate the benefits of rain gardens. These will be relatively small in size to demonstrate how homeowners, local commercial property, small businesses could use a rain garden. And what a rain garden is really for, it's not just aesthetically pleasing, which it is, but it also captures rainwater, slows it down, lets it infiltrate the water back into the ground, and provides filters for nutrients, as well, excess nutrients, as well as pollutants that come off parking lots or rooftops and fields.
The Illinois River Watershed Partnership is collaborating with a number of organizations to provide local match for the federal grant money.
All federal grants require a local match. So our partner is the Walton Family Foundation is our largest sponsor of the partnership, the Illinois River Watershed Partnership. We also have the cities of Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, Bentonville are our sponsors, as well as AEP SWEPCO, Beaver Water District, Tyson Foods, Simmons Foods, a number of local community organizations as well are sponsors of the partnership.
According to Dr. Hark, more and more people have expressed interest in learning more about rain gardens and the benefits they offer.
If here in Northwest Arkansas, we normally get about 4 feet or 48 inches of rainfall per year, a 1-inch rain over a 1,200 square foot roof will generate about 36,000 gallons of water. So if you took a half of a home, let's say 1,200 square foot, which is half of the size of a rooftop, maybe coming off that side of a roof, the rain garden will be about one-third the size of the roof area that we're trying to capture, and that will hold that rain garden most 1 to 2 inch rainfalls, 1 to 2 year rainfall events during the course of a year's time. So if we got 4 inches of rain, it's probably going to overflow. If we get, 1 inch or less, all of that rain will be captured and infiltrate into the rain garden.
On an average, the installation of a rain garden costs $12 a square foot. That includes the cost of mulch, amended soils, sand, compost, labor, and plants. Dr. Hawk says Beaver Water District and the Illinois River Watershed Partnership have some firm goals in mind for this project.
We want to install these as demonstration rain gardens. So we're also, Beaver Water District will be providing the monitoring component of the rain gardens. So we'll be monitoring what goes in and comes out of the rain gardens so we can quantify how much water quality improvements in these particular rain gardens. But then we could say, well, if we install 1,000 rain gardens in the Illinois River watershed, here's how much improvement we could expect in water quality. So these are demonstration rain gardens. They're also training. We'll train up to 300 people over the course of the 3 years to be kind of the trainers. They can go out and help us teach others how to implement rain gardens. And what we hope is that local landowners will also, homeowners will want to participate by installing rain gardens, small rain gardens in yards that will also help slow down the stormwater, keep it from going into the creeks and streams, but also filter the water that eventually does flow out into our creeks and streams.
For more information on rain gardens or volunteering opportunities, log on to www.irwp.org or call 479-238-4671.
It is Thursday, August 25th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Iti Agnihotri Madholkar.
And we are inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. With us is Becca Beckett-Martin, the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
It's Thursday already.
Yeah, already.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Okay, 6 o'clock tonight.
Ooh.
The Artemis Fashion Show. Remember, we had the Artemis Art Show?
Yes.
Now we have the Artemis Fashion Show at Matt Miller Studio at 21 West Mountain Street in Fayetteville.
And there's going to be the unveiling of the mural.
And it's $10 to get in, but they tell me there's food.
Food, yes.
Also tonight, Boom Kinetic plays.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen them for a while. They're on at 7:30 at Party on the Patio at Powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And Band of Heathens is at Neumeyer's Rib Room in Fort Smith. They've been at Bonnaroo, they've been at Wakarusa, they've been at Lollapalooza. They've got a new album out just last year, and the show is at 8:30. Tickets are $15 at the venue or at www.ribroom.com.
That's in Fort Smith.
It is.
I love all the band names that we come across during our conversation with Becca.
Yes. You know my favorite band name, of course.
No,
I have friends who are a band called Vessels of Wrath.
Okay. Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up Found in Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. All week, we're talking with musicians who will be performing during this weekend's Fayetteville Roots Festival. With me in the studio is Brian Embry of Three Penny Acre. Welcome back, Brian.
Thanks, Kyle.
And while Three Penny Acre will be on stage Saturday night at Walton Arts Center, Brian is with me to talk to one of the other folks on stage, headliner Guy Clark. Welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. I want to ask about the CD that you've released just in the last few days. It's called Songs and Stories. It's a live CD.
Yeah.
I think almost anybody who's been to a Guy Clark concert, you kind of walk out on a different plane. People will drive miles to see you in concert. And I'm wondering, as an artist, what does or doesn't make you release a live CD? This is just the second of your career.
Well, kind of happened by accident. We were doing a album release show at the Belcourt Theater in Nashville, and we went up. First set, we performed the whole album exactly the way it was, you know, just exactly the same. And why, I don't know in retrospect, but we did. And then we went back for the second half of the show and just played like we usually play. Just, you know, played songs off the top of our head, no set list, just Berlin and Sean both did songs, and we just played. And the first half was very uptight and not much fun to do, but the second half was a lot of fun. It sounded really good. I wasn't I had not been thinking about it being an album, and the record company kind of just did it at the last minute, just to record it, you know, just to have it.
Well, if I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me and ease my pain? If you needed me, I would come to you. I'd swim the seas for to ease your pain. In the night forlorn of the morning's born.
A couple of songs that are on here, but one is Homegrown Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can hear it the second you start, of course, the crowd, you can hear the appreciation. I love that song. Is that a song that you like to sing every time?
I usually do, and mainly because people like it so much. But I mean, actually, that's a love song. You know, people think it's kind of a lightweight piece of fluff, but it was a true love song for my tomato plants.
Well, there ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes up in the morning out in the garden. Get you a ripe one, do not get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and pick me a big one. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What life.
Guy, I what I love about that song and so many of your other ones that come to mind, like a song like Out in the Parking Lot or something,
yeah.
You know, they're such a small sliver. You know, and I'm interested in your approach there in terms of how do you resist not going bigger? You know, how do you resist,
very, very hard to do, and I have to really work at it.
Yeah.
And it's like great guitar players. It's not the licks they play, it's the holes they leave.
Sure, sure.
And I feel the same way about songwriting. You know, the more I can encourage the audience to use their imagination rather than lining up every detail for them, the better they're able to communicate with the songs because they associate with it. You know, it's the way I feel about it. And I don't always accomplish that.
In the vein of co-writing, do you feel like that has become a catalyst for you in the last, you know, years? Is that something that you've really enjoyed doing?
So, because I got to a point where I was just stuck, you know. I couldn't stand myself. I didn't like anything I wrote and didn't finish anything for about a year. Just got really stuck. And I started co-writing just to get something done, you know, just to do something. I learn something every time I do that. Especially with guys like Jed Hughes. I mean, he is just phenomenal.
I want to ask you about a song, and I wonder how long it percolated, and that's Boats to Build, because that was inspired by a part of your life during your teenage years?
Well, I guess so, yeah, because I worked in a shipyard in Texas on the Gulf Coast. That was my summer job, and got to work with the last wooden boat carpenters, the guy that built big 80-foot wooden work boats out of, you know, and it was just like, I learned so much stuff doing that. I mean, still, I think about it every day.
I'm tired of that same old saying, same old words, the same old lines, the same old tricks, and the same old rhymes. It's days, precious days, they roll in and out like waves. I got boards to bend, and I got planks to nail.
I got charts to make, and I got seas to sail. I'm gonna build me a boat with these two hands of his.
And I know a lot of people are looking forward to hearing you Saturday night at Walton Arts Center.
Well, I'm looking forward to doing it.
Yeah, I think Fayetteville's ready to have you back, Guy. We're gonna welcome you with open arms.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Guy Clark, Songs and Stories, the new CD, Saturday night at the Roots Festival. Thank you so much for your time.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for calling.
Guy Clark will perform Saturday night at Walton Arts Center as part of the Fayetteville Roots Festival. To learn more about the festival, including the schedule, and learn more about the food, the local food served at the festival, you can go to FayettevilleRoots.com. Brian Embry from Three Penny Acre sat in with me on that conversation. Three Penny Acre, of course, will also be on stage Saturday night at the Roots Festival. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Jody Beznoska. She is the Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center. Public school back a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Universities throughout the region have been back for a few days.
Yep.
Labor Day
coming
on
up.
The horizon.
Yep.
We are in the dog days.
We are. Summer is winding down, alas. But it was a good summer. Lots going on.
Sure.
And we're heading into the fall. I think it's going to be another one of those falls in Northwest Arkansas where there is so much going on and so many events to go to and lots of art and culture and sports and things going on. So it'll be fun.
And it really kind of begins to begin this weekend.
Yeah, we've got a very busy weekend going on around here. We have Friday night, we have the final show in the KUAF Summer Jazz Series
right.
with Warren Wolf. And I just checked the system, and there's only a few tickets left to that.
The first two sold out.
Yeah, so if you want them, snap them up now, but you may not be able to. So that's exciting that we'll have a full house for that. And then Saturday is going to be just fantastic here in Fayetteville. There's going to be music all over the place, Greenhouse Grill on the Square at Walton Arts Center as part of the Fayetteville Roots Festival, which hopefully a lot of people have heard about to date. But it's really exciting to have this grow. I mean, last year was its first year, and it's much bigger this year, and sales are going well, and I'm hoping it's going to be a really fun day of music.
We'll hear from Guy Clark later on this program.
Oh.
He's the headliner of Saturday night's event.
Yeah, and people are really excited to hear him.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. I'm just thrilled that at the variety of musicians that are there, you're going to be able to see people like Guy Clark, but you're going to be able to see locals as well and up-and-comers, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And during the afternoon and early evening at Walton Arts Center, there's music almost everywhere.
Pretty much.
Almost.
Yeah, not even just on our stage.
Right.
It's in our lobbies and
in the garden.
In the garden and upstairs, I believe, in the Pace Balcony lobby.
Right,
and
right. Tiffany Christopher will have the songwriters thing there.
Yeah.
Not in the bathroom.
No.
I don't think.
You'll probably be
you'll
able
still
to hear it.
That's right.
So, even that will be pleasant,
yes.
Right?
Tickets still available for that.
Tickets still available. You can get them at waltonartscenter.org or at 443-5600. And for those who may have noticed, our website is back up. We went down for a little bit yesterday, but we're back up and running and should be able to take everybody's order, no problem. So that's this coming weekend.
Right.
Next weekend we'll also be busy. We will have the opening of Theater Squared's first show in their sixth season, Boeing Boeing, the comedy farce about a man with three fiancés, all of whom are, I believe the proper term is flight attendant.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I think I may have said stewardess a couple weeks back. And,
well,
you know.
In your defense, at the time Boeing Boeing was written in the early 60s, that was the term.
That was the term.
This is the most produced French play in all time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
It was French, adapted for the British stage. Then
brought to Broadway.
Right. And it was actually a movie starring Jerry Lewis and Tony Curtis.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Ha!
The play's better.
I bet. And Bradley Whitford, who a lot of people will know from West Wing and other shows, was one of the stars on Broadway.
Right.
So it's really had a nice run, I think. So I'm looking forward to this one. And
it's a farce. It's a great way to start a season.
Yeah, I think it's perfect for kicking off Theater Squared season. It's always fun to kick off the season with a comedy, with something that just...
And I don't know why that is, but it is.
It's a standard thing for regional theaters. Mm-hmm. I've worked at a couple of them, and we always used to fit, okay, we've got to start the season, got to start with a comedy. And I think it's because you go through a season-long experience with a regional theater.
Right.
And you want to come out of the first show with... some lightness and some fun and some really good quality. So you don't sacrifice the really great work and the really high level of production and of performance, but it's fun. It's rollicking. You're getting back to school. Nobody wants to be depressed,
right.
You know,
right.
When that's happening. Or not even depressed, or just, you know, intellectually or
right.
Emotionally challenged. So you start off with a comedy, bring a lot of people in to the theater, and then hope that they stay with you through the rest of the season.
Because they'll love the production. They'll
exactly.
say, oh, they're also doing this and this.
And they're doing these other things, and you know, they'll have a level of trust with the company, and they'll go, okay, I'll go see this other thing. I may not know what it is, or it may not be quite as cheery, but it's still going to be really good. That's the theory anyway.
Yeah.
And for Theater Squared, I think it's worked. I think it's been really
Last
successful.
Last year was over the top.
Yeah, I think it's been great. So we will also we'll have Boing Boing the first weekend of September, and then it will run for 4 weeks. And that same weekend, on the 3rd, we'll have Charlie Daniels at the Amp. That will be a 7:30 show. Of course, you know, Charlie Daniels is a legend.
Devil
Went Down to Georgia, which is one of my favorite songs.
Really?
I love that song, and I love hearing different groups play that song. But he will be fun, and that will be out at the Amp, and we'll cross our fingers that it will cool off and things will be nice and pleasant out there. But that's the 3rd. That's a Saturday. That's at 7:30. And then skipping ahead a little bit, we'll move into the middle of September. We will have on the 16th of September, I actually gave the wrong date for this last week, but we'll have on the 16th James Galea, who is Australia's most famous, most renowned magician.
I can't wait to see this.
I know. This is going to be fun. This is actually going to be in Star Theater, so it will be a little more intimate. You'll be up close. You'll be able to watch him. But he was here as part of a fundraiser that we did last winter, and he put on a great show. And he tries to take the stuffy out of magic. Mm-hmm. You know, he's there to be hip. He's there to be fun. I saw him do some card tricks, which, you know, that's standard patter but for a magician. But he's really fun and really kind of edgy.
So he does what I think people, I have this term right, but close-up magic.
Yeah.
So it's even more amazing.
Exactly. You're looking at his hands,
right.
or he's talking to an audience member. It's not like it's not like Houdini, you know, he's
right.
in a tank getting out of, you know, getting
he's
out
He's not going to saw a woman in half.
No, I don't think he's going to do any of that. And he will probably not pull a rabbit out of his hat either, hence the title of his show, I Hate Rabbits.
Right.
But that's the 16th, and that will be in Star Theater. And then a couple days later, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas will kick off their inaugural season. They had a sort of introduction concert back in March, but now this is their first new season as the new symphony here in Northwest Arkansas. And it's going to be a fun performance. It's a Masterworks performance, so that means they're focusing on, you know, master works of classical music. We'll have the overture from The Marriage of Figaro, which probably more people recognize than they think.
Mm-hmm.
They'll hear that first few notes and they'll go, oh, I know that because you heard it somewhere. It's a great piece. And then we will have a cello piece by Elgar, and there's a young up-and-coming cello soloist who will be featured in that, which will likely be terrific. And then we will have Tchaikovsky's No. 6 Symphony in B Minor, which is his Pathetique Symphony, which he wrote at the end of his career, and it's one of his best. So it's going to be a night of great sound. You know, you're going to recognize a lot of the sound, but if any of you were at the concert back in March, you know that Paul Haas, the music director, he likes to...
He may pull a rabbit out of his hat.
He will pull a rabbit out. He loves to do that. He loves to, you know, pepper the concert with little bits and pieces of music that are not listed anywhere. You're not going to know what they are. The last concert, he had singers up in the balcony and a couple of musicians in the corners of the balcony just playing, and nobody knew that it was coming. He just did it, and it really changed the dynamic of the show from a sort of sit quietly and listen to a, wow, what's going on? You're looking around. You're wondering what's going to happen.
Even more of an experience.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and we're just
so excited for Sona to be back and to be starting their new season, but also to have Paul here. And he's such a up-and-coming young talent, and he's going to bring a lot of great energy to this art form and to the show. So we're very much looking forward to it.
Sona tickets available through Walton Arts Center as well.
Everything I just mentioned is available through waltonartscenter.org or 443-5600, or come down to the box office and visit us down on Dixon Street.
Jody, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large, and it's time for a giveaway question now.
And we're going to give away a lot of stuff.
We are.
It's a full weekend's worth of entertainment.
There's a Guy Clark CD.
One Guy Clark CD. His latest, called Songs and Stories, live CD, gets you ready for Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Two movie passes.
That you can use at any area Malco Theater.
Three tickets to Reckless Kelly.
Three tickets to Reckless Kelly at George's Majestic Lounge. That's tomorrow night beginning at 9. Great show at George's.
And there's more.
Four tickets to an upcoming Northwest Arkansas Naturals game at Arvest Ballpark. Not many home games left in the regular season, so you'll want to use these fast. So one CD from Guy Clark, two movie passes, three Reckless Kelly tickets, four natural tickets, no partridge in a pear tree, but close.
I need to go off air and start participating in our contest.
Big package here. Okay.
Okay, but our question is related to this huge thing that happened in 1975.
And I want to point out that you came up with this idea.
I really
Everyone
did.
Will think that I did, because they know that I'm a huge fan, but you
this
came
is,
up with
yeah.
this. Okay.
So, in 1975, mm-hmm. on this day, mm-hmm. Bruce Springsteen's album, Born to Run, was released.
Yes. And that inspired, you pointed this fact out to me, and I thought, well, we should ask people if they know the only song that Bruce Springsteen has written to go number one on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Born to Run, mm-hmm. as performed by Bruce Springsteen from that album? Was it Fire, that he wrote and was then performed by the Pointer Sisters? Or was it Blinded by the Light, that he performed, recorded, but the version that was a hit for Manfred Mann?
Mm-hmm. And you can call up with your answers on 1-800-522-KUAF.
All right. Best of luck.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 25th of August, 2011. 1609, on this date, Galileo Galilei demonstrated his first telescope to the Venetian Senate in Padua. He hadn't invented it. It was invented by a Dutch astronomer, Hans Lipperhey. But Galileo had figured out by trial and error how it was made, and he improved on the design. He made it variable focus, and he learned the art of glass grinding. So the telescope he presented to the Venetian Senate could magnify images to 8 times the naked eye, and soon 20 times. By the following January, he discovered 4 moons orbiting Jupiter. The Venetian Senate was so impressed, they gave him lifetime tenure at the university, and they doubled his salary. It was on this date, 1835, the New York Sun ran the first of 6 articles about civilization on the moon and strange creatures there, two-legged beavers and bats and lush jungle vegetation that had been observed by an astronomer in Cape Town, South Africa. The articles were said to have been reprinted from the Edinburgh Journal of Science, and they were intended to be a satire, but people took them as the literal truth, and the newspaper's circulation went up. And when the newspaper admitted that the articles had been a hoax, the circulation still went up. It's the anniversary of the creation of the National Park Service, 1916. First National Park was Yellowstone. It had been designated 44 years before. The number of parks and national monuments was growing. The question was, who should manage them? And the Park Service was created. The first director was Stephen T. Mather, a naturalist and industrialist. He established concession sales in the parks, created the National Park-to-Park Highway, and worked with railroads to make the parks more accessible. Park Service now employs about 22,000 civil servants to oversee almost 400 units. covering 84 million acres. It's the birthday of the novelist Brian Moore, born Belfast, 1921. Graham Greene once described him as my favorite living author. Moved to Canada in 1948, started working for a newspaper in Montreal, then went to writing novels. His first book came out in 1955, The Lonely Passion of Judith Hearn. Moved to New York, then to California. Some of his books were adapted for movies. He wrote screenplays, too. Wrote the screenplay for the Alfred Hitchcock movie, Torn Curtain. He said it was an awful ordeal, like washing floors. And it's the birthday of Martin Amis, born in Oxford, 1949, author of the novel Money, about a man named John Self, who directs TV commercials, wants to make a movie, winds up collaborating with a mysterious writer named Martin Amis, who seems to know everything about Self's life. Here's a little poem for today, a poem by Robert Hass. Chester found a dozen copies of his first novel in a used bookstore and took them to the counter. The owner said, "You can't have them all." So Chester kept five. The owner said, "That'll be $112. Chester said, "What?" And the guy said, "They're first editions, Mac. $20 a piece." And so Chester said, "Why are you charging me $112? The guy said, "Three of them are autographed." Chester said, "Look, I wrote this book." The guy said, "All right, $100. I won't charge you for the autographs." A poem by Robert Hass from a longer poem, Praise, published by Echo Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. You can read the current issue of Poetry or listen to the monthly Editor's Podcast at poetryfoundation.org, produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vedder. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Time for our answer.
Cue drum roll.
The question quickly was, what is the only song that Bruce Springsteen has written, the song that went to number one on the Hot 100 single chart on Billboard? And the choices we offered.
Born to Run, Blinded by Light by Manfred Mann, mm-hmm. and Fire by the Pointer Sisters.
Born to Run, as a single, only went to number 17 in 1975. Fire, as recorded by the Pointer Sisters, reached number two on the Billboard charts. Mm-hmm. Blinded by the Light, a far inferior, lyrically altered version by Manfred Mann. If you want to hear the better version, go get the Springsteen version.
And our winners will be informed
soon.
Actually, a winner will be.
We put all the correct answers in the ceramic cap. We're going to pull it out again. Someone's going to win the Guy Clark CD, Songs and Stories, his new live CD, two movie passes to the Malco Movie Theater, three tickets to Reckless Kelly at George's Majestic Lounge tomorrow night at 9, four tickets to an upcoming Northwest Arkansas Naturals game at Arvest Ballpark. And Ozarks at Large is supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, Diamond City, your NPR affiliate for the past 26 years.
Diamond City in Boone County,
mm-hmm.
north of Lead Hill,
mm-hmm.
on Bull Shoals Lake.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on Bull Shoals Lake, but not Diamond City. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Ithi Yagnihotri Madhokar.
Ithi, thank you for sitting in today. We'll be back together Sunday
mm-hmm.
on Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Absolutely.
Antoinette Grajeda will be with me tomorrow.
Trip the merry-go-round with this very unpleasing sneezing and wheezing, the calliope crashed to the ground. Some are